it's not good. All right, here, let's do it real. Y'all know how this begins, and if you don't, you'll figure it out. By the power of Bethesda, I hear declare this meeting of the Friendly Town City Council to order. So hear it with me. Friendly Town! Friendly Town! Friendly Town! Friendly Town! Friendly Town! Thank you, thank you, and welcome to Friendly Town! I never actually saw that movie. Basically, the way tonight's show is going to work is I am not going to forget my book on the bar, and then I'm going to sit down with my TV guide. I've had a long weekend, right? I don't feel too good. I also am not going to forget my beer at the bar. Man, like I said, it's been rough. I just want to sit down and watch a fucking movie, zone out, till I got to go back to work. And, oh, fuck, and I'm not going to forget my list. There's a premise. We're getting to it, I promise.
You have pills at the bar, too. You have heart.
Is there anything else I need? A blanket, maybe? I lost my dignity a long time ago, but if you know where it is, let me, anyway. All right, here's how it's going to work. I'm trying to watch some TV. I got my TV guide. I got a whole list of things on this TV guide that I would love to watch, but I'll be honest, I've never seen or heard of a movie ever, actually. So what I'm gonna do is throughout the day, I'm gonna periodically hit my friends up for weed, and they're gonna come up on stage one at a time, have a seat with me on my couch, and I'm gonna ask them about movies I'm thinking about watching the TV guide, and my friends being so knowledgeable in all things cinema are going to explain to me as best they can the plots and major character development arcs of these films. But here's the caveat.
What
does
caveat mean?
It's those fish eggs. Here's the deal. Nobody advising me on the films that I name to them can have actually seen the film before they explain it to me. So, basically, I've got a whole list of movies that I'm going to go through, and if you've seen one, don't explain to me that you've seen it and we can't do it. Just be like, that movie sucks. And I'll be like, all right, next movie. But if you haven't seen it when I name it, then just do your best to explain it, and we'll do that just kind of rapid fire through everyone in the list until I kick you off the stage. And so that's how it's going to work. So I guess to demonstrate this concept as best as possible.
Your
ear's going to go flying. God, this is so difficult. I just need to sit down and fucking turn on Turner Classics and just fucking chill. All right. I'm going to invite up my weed man, Tyler Sonic, into the stage.
Come on!
who apparently gets a round of applause when he walks into my house.
Is this mic live?
This mic is not live. Jesus, this is such a failure on all fronts.
You just, let's get the...
All right. Yeah.
Sounds nice.
There we go, all right. Have a seat, okay. Tyler. It's been a long day. I'm
all right, just for the record, anyone listening to this out of context, I do not actually sell weed. I just need to put that out there.
Yeah, for the record, Tyler does.
The state of Tennessee.
Yeah, and for the record, I also work for the federal government.
Yeah, neither of us has ever seen weed.
I don't even know what weed really is.
Yeah, you're talking about those things that grow out of cracks in your sidewalk, right? Because that's the only weed that exists in our universe.
You can smoke those, right?
Yeah, your tax dollars pay our salaries. So, therefore...
This beer?
Therefore, we do not...
Paid for with your tax dollars.
That's non-alcoholic old style. They just came out with it last week.
It doesn't taste non-alcoholic.
It tastes 0.3% alcoholic.
It doesn't taste very alcoholic, but it doesn't taste non-alcoholic. Anyway, Tyler.
So there's a great movie I need to tell you about, St. Thomas.
Yeah, man, fuck, I'm just trying to find some shit. I can, all right. The Action Network looks at this guy's movie. It's called The Perfect Weapon, starring Steven Seagal. Have you seen that one before?
No,
The Perfect Weapon.
Yeah, I've totally seen the Perfect Weapon.
What's it about? He's been saying he's any good. Should we watch it?
It's got a lot of like Steven Seagal's ass in it. I'm not gonna lie. Like most of the movie is just his ass.
But like, what's he doing? Like,
he plays, you know, based off of the success of the Under Siege franchise. But they couldn't, you know, have him be a chef because he's a cook in Under Siege. So they had to be a pastry chef in The Perfect Weapon.
It's not a very far. You think they could have given Steven Seagal a little bit broadened his horizon?
No,
of course not.
This is fucking Steven Seagal. Like he still has the ponytail. This is pre haircut Steven Seagal.
Yeah, there's definitely a ponytail in the TV Guide picture for it.
Is he holding like one of those like pastry like tube things where you like put this frosting on the cake? Because that actually is the perfect weapon in question.
He figures out that he can
like put poison in it and shoot it in bad guys' eyes. They catch him. He like goes to take a shower because you know being a pastry chef is really hard work.
Sticky business.
Yeah, and they managed to get Gary Busey back from the Under Siege for the first Under Siege movie. He's the bad guy in the first Under Siege movie, so they're They're capitalizing on the Seagal Busey dynamic, you know, so to speak. The Seagal Busey chemistry, which was so well established in Under Siege, they decided to get Gary Busey to be like a really, really vicious wedding planner who is trying to take down Steven Seagal's bakery. And Steven Seagal, it's a very tense scene. You should really, like, I can't wait until you get to see it for the first time. It's a really cool scene where Steven Seagal's, like, you know, he's, like, piping a frosting piper. He's, like, piping frosting onto this cake. And then Gary Busey walks in. He's just like, "Hey, Ponytail Man." That's actually his character's name in this Ponytail Man.
I mean, you just cut to the chase.
I'm
in it to watch Steven Seagal spray pastry on people, not to really pay attention to what his name is. So sure, that's fine.
Yeah. So, but like, you know, it's one of those. It's an after-hours situation. So Steven Seagal is decorating a cake naked, and that's why, like I said, you know, it's a lot of his ass because there's a really artistic shot where you just see Steven Seagal kind of like. His back's to the camera, you just see like his ass there, and he's just piping frosting onto. And it is frosting, like they established frosting.
Now you say the term piping frosting.
It is in fact frosting. They do go to great lengths to establish. I think for the set to keep an R rating, to maintain this R rating. So Gary Busey comes in. He's, you know.
Does Gary Busey eat any of the frosting?
Oh no, Gary Busey doesn't eat any of the frosting. Oh. Gary Busey is actually a vegan. In this movie. This movie was made 10 years before anyone knew what a vegan was.
Wow.
So it was actually a very cutting edge, very like progressive movie in a lot of ways.
Frosting's not vegan? Back up.
Well, there's buttercream. It's buttercream frosting. The directors also go to great lengths to establish that this is buttercream frosting. Yeah, so, there's actually a scene where Seagal, it's a very classic like monologue where he talks about it. It's like, "Man, I love buttercream frosting." It's like, it's 3 minutes of just that. It's like just a monologue about
many emotions
frosting.
As you've ever seen Steven Seagal emit about buttercream.
You know, it's like, and then of course there's, you know, the woman who hired Gary Busey to plan her wedding, of course, who's just she doesn't really like her fiance a whole lot. He's actually played by a pre-Titanic Billy Zane. It's when Billy Zane's an asshole in this movie. He's an asshole in Titanic. You know, like the guy who's like destined to not marry the really cute, like, you know, young woman. And then Steven Seagal's gonna sweep this woman off her feet with the perfect
some hot frosting.
I wasn't gonna say that, you know, because I just can't
stop thinking it now.
I happen to like action movies, man. I don't want you to like ridicule one of the greatest action stars of this generation.
So here's the thing. If we start watching this movie with all this frosting pipe, I'm gonna pop a boner. It's gonna be awkward. You're here. So let's
wait. Did it just sound? It sounds like your house just yelled "Ooh, boners" at us.
It's just it's my subconscious projecting into the air.
I thought it was your house settling. That's a very weird way for your house to settle. It's just, you know,
boner.
Like, yeah. It's just like, you know, normally you hear the squeaking, like, you know, this chair, except it's just like
only when I'm piping hot frost.
Yeah, it's like piping hot frost. And you know, the movie's actually 3 hours long. It's kind of it's a little bit overwrought, not gonna lie. There's a lot of time. They recreate the knife fight from Under Siege. You know, they capitalized on the
with a frosting gun.
Yeah, they couldn't get Tommy Lee Jones though for this movie, so they had to, so for the perfect weapon they actually had to go with Tommy Lee Jones's non-union equivalent, which of course was Gary Busey in a mustache. So they had to have Gary Busey in a mustache play the other bad guy role, and it didn't work out so well. But you might still like it. I mean, it's a cool movie, man. I mean,
what about perfect weapon? You ever seen Raw Deal featuring Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah, I've totally seen Raw Deal.
What is the Raw Deal? What kind of Raw Deal's he making or getting?
Well, you know, he's a stockbroker, right?
Okay.
This was like the height of the Wall Street era, like the late 80s, you know, Wolf of Wall Street starring Michael Douglas. But Arnold Schwarzenegger wanted to get in on the action. So, you know, it's basically a whole movie of him just like running around the New York Stock Exchange, you know, like, buy, buy, sell, sell. Like, I mean, he sounds kind of like Bela Lugosi in my impression of him, but... But you understand, and then at the very end of the movie, he like breaks the bad guy's back over his knee. It's like a rival stockbroker, played by young William H. Macy.
Yeah.
You know, he just breaks the stockbroker's back over his knee and defuses a bomb, and he just goes like, "Looks like you got the raw deal," and then he walks away.
Oh, that's
as like a bunch of fucking like money goes flying all over the place. Like, okay. It's a metaphor for the excesses of the 1980s.
Well, speaking of,
Can I go? Like, how long are you going to keep me here?
Until I pick a movie. I have a whole TV guide.
Well, you also have a bunch of other weed dealers coming over to try to convince you.
Yeah, who aren't fucking uptight about their government jobs. You know what I'm saying?
Man.
They might actually sell me some weed.
I wasn't in character.
Those drug tests are random, man. They don't even, like, do it half the time, man. Like, there's no... Come on, dude. Anyway, all right, you know, get out of here. I got other friends I can call.
Have fun. Hope you find a movie you like, St. Thomas.
Oh man, I don't know. There's so much in this TV guide, but we'll see. We'll see. Let's see. It's called My Next Weed Man. Hey, Josh Lampley. Woo! Trying to smoke a bowl, watch some movies not about pastry chefs. You think you can get here? Whoa, that was fast. Holy shit. I don't. Are you even on the? Am I even actually talking to you?
I just heard you through the walls.
Oh man, they're settling apparently.
Yeah, they're settling. I heard them earlier, but I gotta tell you, I didn't bring any weed of my own.
God, fuck. Well,
thought maybe you could throw in on this one, and I could like throw in on a future one. That's
how about I'll make you a deal? If you can find me a movie to watch.
Perfect.
Well, think about it.
This is the perfect job for me. I don't have to remember any physical objects. Just memories.
Just memories.
Just memories.
So, have you seen this movie? It's called Frankenweenie, starring Catherine O'Hara and Martin Short. Ring any bells?
I've seen a lot of movies with similar titles, so you're going to have to give me a second.
This is on actual TV. Yeah.
I haven't seen that one.
You haven't seen Frankenweenie. Well,
it's the wrong one.
You're not of any use to me. What about...
The next one, though, I can feel it.
Let's see. Adopted, starring Pauly Shore. That sounds good. What do you think that's about?
That's a classic, man. You haven't seen Adopted?
No, what happens in that?
All right. So... Our protagonist.
Wait, let's back up though. You really have seen Frankenweenie?
I couldn't remember if I had. It was a whole thing.
Tell me about Pauly Shore's movie.
Pauly Shore. So it starts off as a big dramatic opening scene, and it's just Pauly Shore looking, but you can't tell what he's looking at. And it really builds a lot of tension, you know? And then you find out he's getting a puppy.
Oh, that's way less sinister.
A little pup, just a little pup.
What's he do with this pup? Anything cool? Is he pump drugs? Or
well, it's a very medically, scientifically accurate movie. He does all the paperwork, and the camera never cuts. You watch him do all the necessary adoption paperwork.
This is probably like the most rules Pauly Shore's ever like observed in a movie.
You can see him breaking character in the film. He's like, I can't do this.
But yeah, his toughest role, huh?
Yeah, it was a definite challenge for him. He does eight full pages of front and back paperwork, and then he finds out that there's a 3-day waiting period until he gets the
doctor. Oh God, Paulie Shore doesn't have that kind of attention span.
He doesn't, so he goes home and he tries to keep himself entertained for 3 days. And once again, the camera never cuts.
This is a 3-day long movie.
It's a long movie.
I don't have that kind of time. This is...
Oh.
I mean...
Well, you should have told me. I could have told you that very early on.
Yeah, shit. I mean, hell. Like, I mean, if you had weed, maybe we could get real with this. But with sober, I can't. I mean, I can hardly stand Pauly Shore high, much less in a state of mind that makes sense.
I think he agrees as well.
So. Yeah. Let's see. Anyway, have you... What about, have you ever seen Hotel Rwanda with Don Cheadle?
That movie sucks.
Oh, man. Shame. It sounded cool.
It's not, it's really not. Nothing cool about that movie.
That's not untrue. What about Touched by an Angel with Della Reese? Have you seen that one?
Touched by an Angel?
Is that right? I've never heard of it.
A lot of people don't know it's actually a promoted movie.
What do you mean promoted?
It was like a made-for-TV movie for Charlie's Angels.
Oh, okay. But
they had a big theatrical release, and they said, how can we hype up this theatrical release? What better way? TV movie.
So is it like a prequel, a sequel? Like, how's this, where does it fit into the Charlie's Angels canon?
It's
kind of
like Memento. It covers both the pre and the see. So there's the prequel, and then there's a big slate, and it tells you, go to your local Carmike and see the film. You're supposed to pause it there.
Okay.
You come back, and then you see what Charlie decided to do, you know.
What did he decide to do?
I never went and saw the movie. I just saw the scene. I know that after the movie, the Charlie's Angel theatrical release, Charlie makes a big decision. He looks at all the ladies. He goes, yeah, never again am I taking you guys out to eat. And so I feel like the punchline was great if I had seen the real film.
Fair enough. Doesn't sound like me. Let's give him maybe one more shot.
I've seen a lot of movies other than
short of not having anything that can cure my throbbing headache that
yeah, that's my bad.
Made of
maybe next time I'll remember
material
that.
Then, you know, let's see, who else, what other films in this TV guide might I want to have you ever seen what's this one, the movie Seabiscuit with Tobey Maguire? Is that?
Yeah, that movie sucks.
Oh, man.
That's not a joke.
Well, I'm
a
Tony. What about Just Say Anything with John Cusack?
Say Anything?
Yeah. Let's...
Oh, man. You haven't seen Say Anything?
No, just what's it about?
All right, so Cusack. So horny. Like, just needs somebody, you know? And so Cusack goes out. Finds this beautiful, beautiful woman. But before he says anything to her, he asks her to marry him. And then he gives her a piece of paper that says, don't say anything until the day of the wedding. I don't want to know if you're going to say yes or no.
Wait, whoa.
He just needs some spice. He's like, I want to plan a wedding. I'm going to invite somebody. We'll see what they say.
See if I just can't disappoint my entire extended family. But does she still have to pay for the wedding? Because that would be... kind of fucked up.
That's actually the big turning point of the film. You find out that he billed the whole thing to her single mom. So.
Oh man. Whoa. Well, does she say yes or?
She has to because she's in so much debt that.
That sounds.
It only makes financial sense. It's a really sad movie. It's on ACM a lot.
I don't know if I'm really feeling a tragedy right now. Maybe you should get going.
Maybe,
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe next time.
Maybe some other time, man. But, thanks again. The spirits of my house, give it up for Josh Lampley. Man, I really got to see a guy about that foundation. That is creaking. All right. Now, this is somebody I know can hook me up. Because we literally talked about it before. No. I'm going to call my girl Juniper. Who lives down the street from me in real life? So this scenario could happen anytime in real time. Might even happen after the show. I don't have television though, so but yeah, but You got a towel you can put in my car seat? I can't forget mildew, man.
Mildew? Well.
Yeah, you're here anyway.
Tough shit.
Alright.
Here we are.
Alright. Juniper, man, I need to see a movie. I need to pass this day. I don't feel good. Just need, and I have, and I don't know dick about films.
I know.
Tell me.
A little bit about film.
Here's one on the TV guide that I think you might be up your alley. Tell me if you've seen it before. It's called Puss in Boots. Featuring Antonio Banderas and Selma Hayek.
Dude, so like, let me tell you. Let me tell you what's up here. So Antonio. He acquires via a duplicitous salesman, you know, like out in the woods, this pair of magic boots.
Okay.
And he is told by this like old, like, you know, like sage moonshine man in the woods, like, hey, these boots are gonna get you all the puss you want.
Why do you think I'm wearing these, baby? I know, I already like this guy. I feel like me and him would get each other.
And I like your boots.
Hey, I like them too.
Mm-hmm.
Those
are the thing.
Anyways, yeah, get you a good look
like
at them.
Traction right here. Anyways,
oh, yeah, no, those are longer.
These boots are actually a walk. Anyways, these boots are a lot like the boots that he's talking about. Except, you know, it's like a tragic, you know, thing. And then, like, you know, Antonio Banderas is, like, you know, walking through this, like, you know, town, and, like, he's, like, goes with the first lady he sees, is like, hey, look at my boots, and she's like, ugh, and, like, but really, they're cursed boots, and, like, she stabs him a couple times, and he has to go to the hospital.
Oh,
it's
Jesus.
A whole thing, and it comes back.
This is not advertised, I feel like.
No, it's, like, it totally blindsides you, man. It's just come.
So, does he actually get any puss before the end of the movie?
No!
What? That? What? Then this whole premise doesn't. The guy tells you, you take the boots, you get the puss. He takes the boots, he gets stabbed? That's
no,
not.
The thing is that, like, you know, the word puss has multiple meanings, so he actually gets a cat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
He gets a cat, and, yeah, he gets a cat, and he just, like, he becomes an old cat man. Like, you know, old cat ladies, like, he becomes an old cat man. It's kind of like, you know, like, what is the male equivalent of a spinster? I don't know what you call that as. A spinstor? Like a sponster?
Wait, let's go back. What is the female equivalent? What the fuck is a spinster?
Explain a spinster.
Explain to the creaking boards in my house.
It's an old lady who, like, hangs up with cats and spins.
On what?
Her chair. Like, this chair. Like, I am basically a spinster. You
okay.
know, so, but I'll be, like in, like, 20 years, I will be a spinster.
Okay.
Yeah, if I keep going the path I'm going on.
I thought it was something way kinkier than that.
Yeah, I mean, hey, but you know what? Like, you're alone, you, like, anyways, yeah, I mean, like, so that's, I mean, I would give, like a 3.5, 3.246, actually. Probably a little bit lower than that,
let's see if we can, find something else. Let's see. Have you ever seen this movie? It's called Cat People by Simone Simon and Ken Smith. Well, you ever seen that
by Simone Simon and Kenneth Smith? Man, duh. Like, you know, that's like.
What's that one? Is it any good?
Well, it's actually an animated movie.
Okay.
So it's like a Miyazaki film. It's wonderful. Don't laugh at me. I'm serious. It's
okay,
great.
Okay,
like,
all right.
You know, so, like, there are. There is, like, it's like you people in the world and stuff, and, like, you know, and, like, it's like a, there, it takes place in, like, Tokyo, and, like, people, like, walking around, it's like it's animated, it's got the really cool Miyazaki style and stuff, very, like, specific details about, like people putting their shoes on and stuff, just everything is a thing. Every little detail in the movie is, like, it's brilliant. But, like, so the point is that, you know, like, it takes place about, like, this girl, and, you know, man, I'm so bad with fucking names, like, I just can't remember actors' names ever, but, like, you know, whatever. So the female lead is, like, you know, the woman's voice in this character, she's, like, going through the city and shit, and, like, people are, like, getting, like, this flu, and there's a flu, but the flu actually causes people to turn into cat people.
Oh, so this is I was thinking, like, people with cats, not people who are cats.
No, whoa. People who turn into cats, and then, like, but it hit over the
entire
world.
Wait, is this, like, a furry thing? Can they show this on TV? Or, like,
film. You'll see it, like the Regal Cinemas, like, once every couple of years, and they have, like, the Miyazaki, like, binge-watch thing, and they, like, Spirited Away, and then Cat People is always there,
okay.
I mean, but the thing is, she goes
Wait,
to,
is
like,
that the one with all the tentacle stuff at the end? Oh, I think I've seen
I think
before.
You're watching porn, man.
Oh.
that's Miyazaki is not like, dude, not everything Japanese is like, dude, don't be like xenophobic like this. You know, I will stop selling weed to you. Just joking. You're my only person.
Fair enough, though. So it's a good film, though. You think I should see it?
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, if you, I mean, you know, like some people, like, you know, get off of, like thinking about being turned to a cat person. So, you know, that's your jam, man. You know, like, I don't know what you're trying to do with this movie, but like I want to let you know that I'm open.
Trying to get kinky when he told me not to.
No, I didn't tell you not to. There is just copious cat dick, and it's horrifying. Have you ever seen a cat dick before? Like, you know, like if you want to go down the rabbit hole, the cat hole. What? Sorry, it's too much. It's a little emotional.
Cat boners.
Your house is like, you know, like your house is like calling for you to watch this movie. You hear that? Like, it's like, yeah, cat boners
into it.
Like, so maybe it is kind of like porn. I don't know.
Maybe it is. But on that final note, have you seen this movie? It's called Mr. Woodcock. It's got Billy Bob Thornton in it.
That is a smut film.
Okay.
Hands down.
I can see it's After Hours. That makes sense.
Woodcock.
Oh.
Like, you know, it's like the double. What is the double? I feel like it's a double entendre, but I don't really know what that word means. So yeah, I'm kind of scared to use it, but I know you don't judge me, so it's a double entendre.
We know at some point there is like a, is this cock made of wood?
Well, that would be a double entendre, right? So there's this tree guy. It's like everything Swamp Thing.
Yeah,
it's kind of like that. So like it's an old scientist, like, you know, it's basically just like Swamp Thing, but then it gets like smutty.
So swamp cock.
Yeah, it's like.
Ooh, I've had that.
Yeah, it's like guy falls in the fucking like Swamp Thing.
Let me alcohol clear right up. You just gotta.
Well, shit, no one told this guy that, because this guy's like, you know, all swampy and shit, and he turns to like wood stuff, and like his science partner is like, ah! But it literally is a smut film. It's like 30 minutes long, you know, it's like real short, really, really tastefully made, though. So I'm not talking about smut. It rides the line between what is porn and what is art.
Okay.
Smut's
not the right word, because I think smut implies that it's well on one side of the line.
Yeah, but I'm kind of a prude. I was raised Presbyterian, like Calvinist Presbyterian, so, you know, I'm like, I'm kind of fucked up.
Well, you know, I got a half hour, and you want to help me rub one out, and then smoke this weed, and then...
You just got it. You got my number.
All right,
you know?
Cool.
I got to go home and get the Jergens lotion, though.
All right, fair enough. Well, while you're waiting, I might see if I can... I'll save that one before we can get back, but I'll see. I got a couple other people I can... Come back soon, June, bro. In the meantime, I'm still trying to hook this shit up. I'm still trying to learn some things about some films. And I don't know what I'm going to watch until Juniper gets back and we definitely both watch Woodcock together. But I know someone I can call who is a NASCAR buff, so I don't know how far that'll get me on the TV Guide page. Because there's only one channel that plays that. I like it. He's coming here. I don't get to introduce him. But, you know, it's his turn. Todd Lewis, get over here, man. I like you already. This man came prepared.
Sorry, I'm a little late. Tyler had to go stand behind the bar and cover for me.
Well, that's nice of him, I guess.
I know. You need a brew?
Oh, bro. You know I need a brew. Brash.
All right. Are you ready to watch some TV or what?
You tell me, man. I'm just trying to find something that looks good, you know? I'm just trying to, man. Just trying to see what else we got around here. Something good. There got to be something worth a damn watching. Let's see. You ever seen it? It's called Dog Eat Dog. It stars Nicolas Cage.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. Okay, so, like, it's like, it was made in the 80s.
All right.
And, like, Nicolas Cage.
Prime Cage.
Wait, what?
So it's Prime Cage.
Okay. Yeah. Nicolas Cage plays like a hotshot Navy aviator, but he like doesn't really play by the rules. He's kind of a, you know, kind of a wild card, and he gets into the big Navy training school, which is called Dog Eat Dog. They couldn't use the real name because of like copyright shit, but so it's like. You know, Nicolas Cage gets this, like, real big rivalry with the, who else is in that movie?
It only says Nicolas Cage. I don't know. That's a good question.
I think it's Val Kilmer or his non-union equivalent.
I'll take that.
And, so it's like, you know, Nicolas Cage's character is kind of a hotshot, and he's like, you know, wins his first match in school, but then he's like, I was only below the hard deck for a few seconds. Which it's like, the simulated hard deck was 2,000 feet, and if you're a pilot, the hard deck is the ground, so he's saying, like, my jet plane only hit the ground for a few seconds.
Oh,
and then he acts like, you know, it's like the instructor's, like, giving him a hard time and riding him real hard. And then, and then there's the scene where they're playing volleyball, which makes you really think they're riding each other real hard. But, you know, and then it's like at the end, there's some jet shooty. You know, we should watch something else until like the very end and then flip over and watch the jet fighting shooty part at the end, because that's the best part of the movie.
Well, before that, let's see what else comes on before that. You ever seen Scent of a Woman? It's got Al Pacino in it.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. I've seen Scent of a Woman. It's one of my favorite movies. It's about NASCAR.
Oh, shit.
Al Pacino.
I'm glad I asked you, bud.
Al Pacino plays this hotshot race car driver.
Okay.
And he, like, used to be an Indy driver, but he couldn't get a good name because it's like he didn't have a name like Andretti or Unser. So it's like he's trying his, like, luck in stock car racing.
Yeah.
Right? So he's doing the NASCAR thing. But they couldn't use NASCAR, so they called the sport Sin of a Woman. So he's, for legal reasons, they couldn't get NASCAR. So it's, you know, Al Pacino's like, hoo-ha, rubbing his racing. And, you know, he's driving around, and in one part he's got, like, a love interest that he, like, explains sex to using sugar packets and racing and, like, the difference between tight and loose, because, like, loose is fast. And
what's tight?
It means your car doesn't turn.
Okay.
Because racing's exactly like vaginas. That's the actual official slogan of NASCAR.
Oh, man. I'll tell you one thing. I know a few drives in my day, they certainly turned on me. I'll tell you what.
So, who else is in that movie?
Again, it only says Al Pacino.
Yeah. So,
Chris O'Donnell, maybe?
Al Pacino plays this hotshot race car driver, and it's like his big rivals, like Chris O'Donnell, but then, like, he gets a teammate that's, I think, played by Val Kilmer. And, like, or Val Kilmer's non-union equivalent. And they, like, don't get along real good. And then, like, Al Pacino gets in a really bad wreck with Chris O'Donnell. And Chris O'Donnell can't race anymore. And then, like, Al Pacino's got to race, like, Chris O'Donnell's car for him. And they, like, become buddies while they're mending.
Oh, man.
It's pretty good, but the last part's, like, really predictable. So we should watch that until,
the last part.
And then
we still got 15 minutes before that starts. So you think it's worth checking anything?
We should check out something. There's for 15
one
minutes.
Other thing here's a good one. It starts about 15 minutes before it maybe warms up. Have you seen No?
No?
It's just all it says. No!
Like N-O or like...
N-O.
Okay, yeah, I've seen N-O. I haven't seen
There's the also other one after that. It's just called O.
Yeah.
Either one, they both start at the same time, so I mean...
I've seen No. Yeah. I've seen
What's
it.
What's it about?
Will you see... who's its star?
I don't know if I wrote that one down. It's not in the. It just says.
Well, if it doesn't say anybody.
It says, there's the time, and then no with an exclamation point.
We can't check that one out, man. It doesn't have anybody in it if it doesn't say.
Instructions are pretty explicit, yeah. I guess, too, and maybe you're not even allowed to turn to it. I don't know.
Yes.
Let's see if we'll find one more. Some starts earlier. Maybe got an actual character list. Have you seen? Mad Dog Time, starring Burt Reynolds and Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, yeah, I've seen Mad Dog Times. It's awesome.
That sounds cool. All
right, so Burt Reynolds plays this really, really, like, egotistical sports agent.
Okay.
And Jeff Goldblum plays this, like, hotshot wide receiver that's, like, his you know, it's like he represents him. And it's like Burt Reynolds quits his big, you know, Mad Dog's like his nickname because he's so aggressive when he goes after the sports
Wait a
stars.
Minute, are you just explaining me the plot to Jerry Maguire?
And No. This
Wait,
is,
now
Mad
we go
Dog.
Back. Earlier, you just explained to me the plot in full of Talladega Nights, didn't you?
No, that was...
Wait, you told it. It's just now occurring to me.
That was Days of Thunder. There's a subtle difference between Talladega Nights and Days of Thunder.
Before that, you explained to me the fucking plot of the Top Gun. It was Top Gun. It wasn't even. You're a bastard. Get out of my house. We gotta have one good friend in this fucking world. So far, 0 for 5. All right. Actually, that's not the right number. 4. I can't count myself because I don't like myself. That doesn't. Not friends. Me and this guy. He's a real piece of dog shit. That said, call the one last person I know on this planet who doesn't think so, or as I know anyway. Don't know what he tells his friends. Maybe I give John Hurst a call. I know he's got my shit. John, buddy, I'm jonesing.
Hey, what's going on?
Man, I ain't got a friend in this world, man, who can tell me the straight about anything this damn TV got. I've given up trying to score at this point. I'm just waiting on Jupiter to get back here.
Oh, man, well, let me tell you, your place is easy to find. You just find the house screaming for boners. It's really super easy.
It's louder outside than inside, thank God, I guess, because it would be, if it was as loud in here as it is out there, I don't know how.
Oh, man, it's like decibel levels. There's like a noise issue.
Yeah, you got to sleep with earplugs. It helps.
Yeah.
It helps.
So what are we watching, man?
That's a good question.
Let's see what we got. You ever seen it? There's a movie. It's this looks might be good. It's called I Spit on Your Grave. It's got Camille Keaton and Aaron Tabor.
Camille Keaton and Aaron Tabor.
I think they're old people. It's okay if you don't recognize
them. Yeah, I've seen that movie. Yeah, have I seen that? That was an old classic of mine, like growing up, actually. It's literally a musical. Actually,
okay.
It's like from the 40s, 50s. It's one of those early rock, like those mid, like Roger and Hammerstein, when they were really cranking them out and they just needed something for that time period. And they were just like, okay, we need an idea. And they were just throwing out different nouns. It's like, what do we do? Why don't we do like film noir is very popular. Let's do a revenge style film noir musical.
Oh man, and this is all kinds of fusion. I like it.
Yeah. So it just most of the movie, though, they spent all the money on the music and not on the scenery or the actors. That's why I didn't know the name. Like, no one knows the name. They haven't been anything else afterwards. So most of the movie is just standing at someone's grave, which you don't even see the person's name. They go, I spit on your grave! And then they spit together in sync. And that's most of the movie in different tandems. There's a tap dancing scene. It's very good.
Okay.
I mean, like it's worth at least flipping over
the tap dancing with all the spitting going on. It gets a little
wet. Let me just tell you, like you know, right. Like room gets a little wet. So
that sounds a little hairy. Let's
we can go to something else.
Yeah. What else we got here? What about
I can't believe you have a TV guide, by the way.
I mean, man, you know sometimes you just gotta get back to basics, you know? Sometimes you just gotta...
Got those articles, man.
Have you seen this movie? It's called Ugly Betty, starring an actual Betty Suarez.
Ugly Betty.
Have you seen Ugly Betty? Is it any good? Sounds kind of sad, maybe. Yeah,
that sounds a little bit sad. I've seen that one.
The base sucks, huh? All right.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Betty. All right.
It's a Lifetime movie. You don't want to see it.
That sounds like it could get... Yeah. Oh, you know what? I have seen that one. Yeah, Betty's got an abusive... It's just 50 minutes of him calling her ugly. It's bad.
Yeah, no, it's not even... It's barely a film. It's basically just yelling for that 50-minute period about ugly, and then there's a Hallmark commercial.
Yeah.
Every time. It's just always Hallmark. I don't understand it.
Par for the course.
It's even in the video version of it.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Weird.
Have you ever seen Ladder 49 or Flight 93? It doesn't matter who the fuck's in them, whatever.
Weirdly enough, Ladder 49 and was it Flight 93? Those are sequels to each other. Because the Ladder actually, the first one's a horror film. And it's Ladder. It's like kind of like, you know, sets up like the Cube.
Okay.
Like where it's like a group of 6 people, they're all around, they get magically transported, and there's just a ladder in the middle of the room. And they're like, what do we do? And they can't see the top. They're just looking at it. It's like, well, we can climb the ladder. And then they just climb the ladder for about an hour and a half.
What's at the top of the ladder?
Flight
93. Oh.
And at that point, like, it just all connected together, and that's when the second movie starts, and that's really, like, there's a lot of action, really, like, the tense, like, Ladder 49 was an indie film. It had, like heart-pounding tension as they grabbed each rung of the ladder. And Flight 93, they try to mainstream that. It's like Blair Witch 2, where they try to, like, make a plot. It just didn't work out.
No.
Like, they actually did stuff. It was weird.
Yeah.
Don't like it.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I could see how the kind of minimal bent to just climbing the ladder could be soothing, though. Because, you know, yeah, sometimes I think of that, and I'm just climbing a ladder to nowhere, you know. I just kind of feel the same way. I can get behind that. Heaven forbid there'd be a reward at the top of the ladder, though. But anyway, what else we got here before I maybe get started? What about this one? This is interesting. It's called Here Comes the Boom. Stars Kevin James and Selma Hayek, apparently, and Henry Winkler. You seen that one?
I've seen that one. I have that on Laserdisc somewhere, actually.
What's the boom?
The boom is actually, Kevin James is a demolition expert.
Okay.
And,
very literal then, yeah.
But he's out of a job right now.
All
right. And, like, he can't, like, he's kind of a loose cannon or a loose demolition expert, whatever have you, and he just needs to find another job. He needs to make a rent that month. So here comes the boom to your temp job agency, where he's going to go try to apply his demolition expertise to as many common jobs as possible. Try to relate to the people that are not blowing stuff up. And, of course, he blows up nearly all of them. Like, yeah, he's a grocery clerk for about, like, at least, like, three, like, he blows up, like, three Krogers in the span of, like, 2 minutes. It's impressive.
Oh,
the
wow.
body count is actually pretty higher than Commando, if you
wow.
can believe it.
Wow, oh, man. That's
yeah,
nice
like, he gets, like, 26 life sentences by the end of that film.
Wow.
Very dark.
Where's Selma Hayek come into the plot?
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'd like to give her the boom.
Oh, she's the one that keeps the... she's the one actually supplying the temp jobs to Kevin James.
Oh, okay.
So, she's going, like, I don't even know what she sounds like. It's like. Have you tried cake decorating? He's like, I know a guy, Mr. Seagal. He's like, yeah.
Oh, it's a crossover film.
Yeah,
it's a whole universe.
He makes a cameo from his Perfect Weapon. He's like completely in costume. He doesn't have the ponytail anymore because he cut that off. And he just he really phones it in, though. It's like they try to bring it back, and it's just not as pleasant,
not
basically.
Yeah. Well,
so there goes the boom.
There goes
two stars.
The boom. I wonder. I mean, I don't know. Nothing's really, you know, like jumping out at me. I don't know. Give me maybe one more. Is there anything you see in here? You think?
Hold on. Let's see.
There's pages and pages of all kinds of stuff. In this
I haven't looked at one of these in years. They got it looked like a crossword puzzle.
Yeah, it's. You know, it's crazy, the TV guides, I guess their budget's lower now, it's all handwritten, so it's kind of hard to read.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I don't think they're doing full-on printing anymore.
I know this one. Happy Feet, starring Elijah Wood and Brittany. That's actually a documentary, and that is about someone screaming feet. Like, the foot has vocal cords and everything, and endlessly screams for 40 minutes.
That doesn't sound happy at all.
No, the guy is miserable. He cannot sleep.
Oh.
Elijah Woods is actually the owner of said Happy Feet.
Oh, jeez.
This is a really life affliction. Why do you think, that's why he was in Lord of the Rings, because he wanted to, he was barefoot all the time. That was after the corrective surgery.
So this is like a prequel to The Hobbit, then?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's just like, that's why he's so happy in, you know, in Lord of the Rings, so... There you go. I'll tell you what. I got that copy over at my house. That's also what I have on Laserdisc. Let me go grab it, and we'll be back. So
yeah, I'll do that, and I'm going to fall asleep while you're gone and not answer the door. All right, everybody. I don't think I have found anything worth watching right now.
Cat people?
Your house. In my house. Yeah, I mean, so no, I thought we agreed on Woodcock. You got mad at me for cat people.
I forgot.
I said
house.
some offensive things about the Japanese. No, I think that does it. I guess Woodcock takes it, unfortunately.
I forgot the dragons.
Oh, shit! Here we get Jergens. What? Oh, that's right. Oh. That'll have to do. Just, you know, let's make it. All right.
It burns.
It burns. It burns. Only if you get it in the urethra. As long as you. It does. That's better than most six of swab, you guys. Just not, you've heard it first. All right. This has gotten escalated quick. Anyway, I don't know how to wind this down because there's like the premise that built up to nothing. So I'm just going to ask you all to go home now. No, but thanks again, everybody, for sticking out during this monsoon of a Monday. Oh, yes. Okay, there is some news. All kinds of news on all kinds of fronts. One, we got a Friendly Town zine. We got some old copies for sale for $2 a pop. You can get them literally anytime here at the bar. So if you don't have $2 to spare now, they ain't going anywhere. But if you do, take them. Before that, though, we're also trying to compile the next zine, which is why we have to move all these copies of the old zine, here rapid fire soon. So if there's anything you would like to contribute to the biannual Friendly Town zine, by all means, submit a... send your submissions to, what is it, friendlytownmayor@AOL.com, I believe is the real-life, not fake address that we actually do accept submissions at. And then also, not this next week, but the week after that, am I not mistaken? Yes. So 2 weeks from today, right?
Yes.
Is it that August fucking 21st. Soon? Holy shit, August 21st, after the solar eclipse sets on all of the planet and we enter a new era of humanity and time in general. Friendly Town is celebrating its 1 year anniversary, everybody. That's right. We have not been stopped from doing this for a whole year. So thank you, Josh, for tolerating us most Monday nights. Because if anyone has the power to make this stop, it's him. So stick around afterwards, buy a beer, tell Josh how much you like us, even if it's not sincere, because we can't afford to lose this venue, you guys know. But so yeah, in 2 weeks, we got our 1 year anniversary, and from someone who has been here for almost that whole year, I can say it has been a pleasure to watch Friendly Town develop and grow and really morph into an actually really fucking cool night that I can depend on to make me happy on a weekly basis, which is not most things. So give it up for yourselves, because you're more responsible than me, that's for sure. Next week's show is Friendly Town. What, though? I forgot the theme. Oh, that's going to be a good one. So next week, we do indeed have another show, as you might predict, and it is Friendly Town, if you didn't hear Tyler say it from the side of the room. Needs a midlife crisis, so come here and explain what's going wrong in your life and what irresponsible purchases you might make to resolve it. Spoiler alert, they don't resolve it. But we'll be here to hear you out either way. Beth's asking that question like she hasn't been there before. Come on, Beth. I'm thinking about a news. Is there any other announcements I need to make, fam? Anyone in the room got anything they want to say? You can always follow us on Facebook at Friendly Town Knoxville. You can catch our podcast on iTunes and other places where you can kind of hackily find RSS feeds for podcasts. iTunes certainly being the most convenient version, including the show tonight. Why you'd want to go back and watch it, I don't know. But it'll be there eventually in about 6 months or so. But by all means, look us up if you haven't already, and we'd love to see you back next week. And I'm going to stop rambling now because I feel like I'm making people upset with my absentmindedness. So you guys get home safe, stay dry. Thanks for coming out. See you next week.